This is the morning whenever the true church celebrates what we have come to know as Easter. It's the day when we commemorate, the day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And I like saying Happy Easter. I've said Happy Easter to some of you. I also like saying Happy Resurrection Day. And because it is the resurrection of our Lord. Usually when I say Happy Easter to someone kind of outside the church, usually it follows with a thanks of Jesus being alive again and him coming back from the dead. Because like Andrew, when he prayed back there, it's more, Easter is more than just the Easter bunny. It's more than just Easter eggs. It's more than just getting candy. And whenever I was talking with Brooklyn this morning and waking her up early to get her ready for church, and that's one of the things that she was talking about and she was excited about, to hunt Easter eggs and to get candy. And I was just talking with her a little bit about that this morning, about how today is about Jesus and him rising again from the grave. That's one of the things that I liked yesterday about Miss Deb's teaching whenever we had, it was around 40 children in here for our Easter egg hunt. And why do we have that as a church? Well, who doesn't like to come and hunt Easter eggs? And you know what? Whenever they come here, we're not just going to hide eggs to hunt eggs, but we're bringing them in here to share the gospel with them. And she had an egg there, and that egg came open, and man, she had different nails in there and different a tomb in there and different symbols about the true meaning of Easter. And so all those children and parents and grandparents that were here, they got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with that in our minds this morning, let's journey back to this kind of first Resurrection Sunday morning, the dawning of Resurrection Sunday. And let's look at the events at the tomb of Jesus and see what happened that day, and to really think about them and to think about what that means to you. What does Easter mean to you? What does Resurrection Day mean to you? Number one, we see the approach of the women. And Matthew records the fact that two women came that morning, and the other gospel writers reveal the fact that the others came also. And why was that? There's really no contradiction that is there. They probably arrived as a part of a different group that was there. As we mentioned earlier in the service this morning, that some of the disciples were probably scared. And they were hiding. And the women came. And why did they come? Some came to look. In verse 1, it says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulcher. They came to look. Maybe they were coming to pray. Maybe they were coming to meditate. It doesn't really say there, but they wanted to see where his body had been buried. Maybe they were coming to make sure that everything was in order at the tomb. Whatever the reason, we are told that they came to the sepulcher. Turn over in your Bibles to Mark, very next book of the Bible, Mark chapter 16. We get a little bit deeper in-depth look in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was, passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Luke 24:1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." And this verse teaches that some of the women came to perform one last labor of love. Because they loved their Lord. Because they wanted to honor him. They came to finish anointing his body for burial. They wanted to serve him one more time. And still we see another picture. Turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 20. And we get John's perspective. And it's kind of neat. I like the four different gospels because you get the four different perspectives on Jesus' ministry and his life. And with his death, with his burial, with his resurrection that is there. John chapter 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me, where hast thou laid him? And I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and had spoken these things unto her. And these verses tell of Mary that came, and some came to look, some came to labor. Look, some just came to linger. Some just wanted to be there. Some just wanted to take it all in and think about all of the things that had happened that week. That couple days before. And I'm sure that the time between Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection again, there's a sense of lostness and hopelessness that is there. And we can look at these women and we can identify, because each one of us here, that describes us, what we do. Some come just to look. Some come just to labor. And some come to linger, to take in what all is going on. To think about Jesus, where their master is, where their Savior is. And you have to wonder what would have happened if the women wouldn't have come to the tomb. Would people have just shut their doors and went about their day? But you know what? Thank God for redeemed women who loved Jesus that came and they sought him out and they wanted to know. And so we see the approach of the women. We also see the activity of the angel that was there. We see that he rolled away the stone that was there. That was one obstacle that was removed. Humanity was the only one that sent ambassadors to the tomb early that morning, but heaven also sent an ambassador to proclaim the good news that Jesus wasn't dead, that he is alive. And the angel came, and the angel moved the stone. Mark 61 tells that while the women made their way to the tomb to finish preparing the body for burial, that one of their concerns, that was, how are they going to do this? How are they going to move the stone? And you know what? Sometimes, friend, listen. Sometimes faith leads us that way. We don't know how. We don't know why. We don't know where. We don't know when. We don't know how it's going to get paid for. Okay? That's a biggie that sticks in our mind, doesn't it? Because that's what we deal with all the time. But you know what? They went. They just went. They stepped out in faith and they just went. They went to the tomb. Why? They were trusting God. Okay? They were seeing what they were going to get into. And they had the stone that was rolled away. And that stone said, that stone, while it was there, it says that Jesus is gone forever. That's what that stone meant that was there. Really, man's last attempt to keep the Savior away. But guess what? Huge stones like that, that ain't no big deal for God. You know what? He can speak the words, and man, an earthquake comes, and man, the angels rolled the stone away, and he took care of that. Why? Not to let Jesus out. Jesus could have spoke the words, and the whole tomb could have came crumbling down. But to let people in, I think he was long gone before the earthquake ever happened. I think he was long gone before the stone was ever rolled away. And why? So people could come in. So he rolled the stone away. That was the first obstacle, was there. Imagine these women coming to the tomb, okay? They had a stone there. They had the soldiers that was there. That's kind of the next obstacle that we see that's in the way. And what happened to those soldiers? He removed them. He removed them. Verse 4 of Matthew 28. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And he removed them. Remember who had placed them there? The chief priest, the Pharisees, the religious people of that day, they placed them there. Why? Because they said the deceiver, speaking of Jesus, the deceiver said he would come alive in 3 days. You know what? We just want to make sure that that doesn't happen. What were these women going to do? I mean, I'm sure they weren't carrying pistols with them, or swords with them, or shields with them, okay? You know? But they went. They had faith and they went, and the soldiers were there, and they even sealed the stone with Pilate's seal. And the company of guards was there. And it was an obstacle between the saints and the entrance. But God, he took care of that was there. Not only did he roll the stone away, not only did he remove the soldiers, but he reminded the saints. He reminded them as the angel began to speak to these women that morning. The greatest obstacle of all was removed. And what obstacle is that? And church, it's the obstacle that we face today in every decision that we make, that we need to make. What obstacle is that? The obstacle of unbelief. Of unbelief. And we can have that in our lives. And this message that was there with the stone being rolled away and the tomb that was empty, it inspired them to belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And they went and they told. They went and they told.
And notice what he reminded them of. He reminded them of the past. He reminded them of the crucifixion that was there. And you know what? I'm sure those ladies, they didn't need a reminder. They were there. They saw. They took everything in. All of the sounds, all of the smells, all of the feelings that were there in that day. And the fact that his death is emphasized, it reminds us of the importance of the death of Christ on the cross. His death provided what we needed, fulfilling Isaiah 53. He reminded them of the present. The angel said, look, you're here at his tomb. But guess what? Jesus isn't. He isn't here, just like he said. He isn't here. And this is the greatest proclamation to for us to hear that his death, the perfect eternal payment for our sin, but his resurrection was God's receipt of that payment in full. He is risen. He is risen. You see, a dead Savior can save no one, but a living Savior can give salvation to all. To all. To all who believed. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And whenever his blood was offered before the Father in heaven, Jesus rose from the grave. His Father was satisfied because sin is paid for. And now that Jesus had proven who he was all along, now he can declare his victory, just like we sang this morning. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He what? He sought me. I wasn't seeking him. I wasn't going looking for him, but he sought me. Why? Because I'm going my own way. Why? Because I want my own thing. Why? Because I want to do it my way. But he sought me. And not only did he sought me, okay, kind of reminds us of a person that was down and out along a road. And someone came along and helped them. He sought me. And what else did he do? He bought me. He bought me. Not only did he seek me when I was running away from him, but he bought me. And he took me in. And Jesus proved who he was all along. In his victory over death and hell and the graves. And the angel was reminding them, look, this is your present state. And you know what? So many times Satan in our mind, he wants to get us down. He wants us to forget about that. He wants us to not think about Christ. He wants us not to think about the blood that was shed for us. He wants us not to think about the things that Jesus did for us, of the salvation that he offered for us. And he gets us concentrated on our problems. And he gets us concentrated on man, how are we going to do this? How are we going to figure this out? What are we going to do? And you know what? He just wants us to trust in him. He wants us to trust in him. Friend, if he sought you out, if he went looking for you, if he pulled you out of the gutter, if he bought you and he called you one of his own, why do we need to fret for the rest of this life? Why do we need to do it? They reminded him of the promise. The resurrection should have taken them by surprise, but man, you don't see too many dead people coming back from the grave, you know? And it did. It would have taken all of us by surprise. This is what he said all along, that he would have risen. And they reminded him of his promise. They reminded him of his proof. And the angel invited them to come and to look into the tomb and to see for themselves. Look, Jesus is gone. He is gone from here. And later, whenever Peter and John would arrive, John records the facts that the claws that were wrapped around his body were lying there like an empty cocoon. And while the napkin had been about his face, it was folded in place by itself. Now that kind of intrigued me a little bit. I mean, Jesus took the time to make sure that the napkin was all folded and laying there right, But he left his clothes there, kind of a mess, didn't he? Like he just went out of them. So why wouldn't have Jesus, I kind of wonder what his mother would have said, you know? I guess his mother was kind of there. But why is that? And there are two reasons why the appearance and arrangement of the grave clothes are important. Why is that important? Number one, there was no sign of human intervention. If someone had taken the body, they could not have removed it through the grave clothes. I mean, think about it. Not that you're ever going to go and steal a dead body, but if you ever go and steal a dead body, you're not going to sit there and you're not going to take the clothes off of the person and let it lay there and then you carry them out and around. I mean, you know, anyone, Amber's laughing, anyone stealing a body knows that. You're going to take it and you're going to go. There was no human intervention that was there. And if you're going to steal a body from the grave, why would you go over and why would you fold up the napkin and let it lay there all nice and neat? No, you're going in undercover. You're sneaking in there. You're getting the body and you're getting out of there as soon as you can. Why? Because you don't want to get caught. You don't want to get caught. Second, this is an ancient Eastern custom of a napkin. When a man with servants was eating a meal, he would often use his napkin to give a sign to them that during the course of the meal, if he left the table and he wadded up his napkin up, it meant that he was finished and he wasn't going to be back. However, if he took his napkin and he folded that napkin up neatly, it told his servants that he was just going away for a short while, but that he would be back. I may be out of your sight for now, but I'll be back. I'm coming back. When John and Peter had arrived at the tomb, they feared the worst. They thought that robbers had come. They thought that the Jews had taken his body. Even Mary had missed the napkin that was there, thinking of him to be the gardener. And yet John, who had been raised with servants, probably knew this custom and quickly grasped that meaning. And so we see the activity of the angel that was there. And finally, Jesus comes. And Jesus lets them know. Not only do they have the empty tomb, not only do they have the angels there telling them that Jesus is risen, we finally see Jesus in verse 9. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Hail, all hail." And they came and held him by the feet and they worshiped him. And oh man, what a great thing. That word all hail, it means oh joy. Oh joy. He came to them personally. Why? So that they might know him. So that they might firsthand see that he is risen. He is risen. And man, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to hear from others what Jesus can do. Man, I love it whenever people come and whenever people give a testimony of something that Jesus has done in their life. I like it whenever we take time during the morning service and sometimes we give a chance for praise and people will raise their hand and they'll praise God for something and seeing how Jesus has worked in their lives. But you know what? There's nothing like whenever Jesus works in our lives. And we have first-hand experience with him. There's nothing like meeting the living Christ for yourself and experience him for yourself. And when they met him, they're so overcome with love and with joy, they came and it says they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. I heard that song this past week, worthy of worship, worthy of praise. Jesus is worthy of all that we have. And friend, there's no need for us to hold back our love and to hold back our expression for him. And man, sometimes in this area, whenever we're praising, whenever we're testifying of God, man, it's all right. We don't have to be a quiet church. Man, we can raise our hand in the air. We can shout amen. We can say hallelujah. We can get a little Pentecostal. That's all right. That's okay. It's okay to do that. It's all right to shout for the Lord. And they had adoration to the Lord. Why? Because he came and he saved your soul. And every song that we sing and everything that we do, it should be done with all. It should be done with our best. It should be done as we pour ourselves out to him. And friend, do we do that or do we just come to him? Kind of singing to him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Man, singing out like Jesus did something for you. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came, he died on the cross for you. He gave his blood for you. Give your adoration to him. And that's what they came. They came and they beheld him at his feet. They were worshiping him, the one that walked with him for 3 years. The miracles that they saw and the testimony in their own lives. Friend, you have a testimony for the Lord. Man, some of you all, you were saved from what we call a horrible, terrible life and the things that you were doing. But guess what? All of us were saved that way. Guess what? I was 7 years old and I was in a church and there was a lady and she told me, she said, you're a sinner and you're going to die and be separated from God forever. And man, as a 7 year old, that kind of gets your attention. I don't want to die. I don't want to be separated from God forever. And she told me the way to heaven, that it's through Jesus. And guess what? As a 7-year-old boy, as I knelt down and prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior, guess what? He saved me. He saved me from my selfishness. He saved me from the way that I'm going. And guess what? That's my testimony. You know what? That's it. Was I a smoker? Nope. Was I a drug addict? Nope. Was I a drinker? Nope. Was I a sinner on my way to hell? Yes, I was. I was. And each and every single one of you here, you have a testimony that Jesus has saved you. Hopefully you do. If you don't, you need to get one. You need to ask Christ to be your Savior. You need to believe in him. They had an assurance of their Lord in verse 10. Check it out. Look at what Jesus said to them. He said, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Man, let me tell you what. If we saw Jesus, if we saw an angel, we would be kind of afraid. Even Brian, he would be kind of afraid, okay? We would. Why? We're not used to seeing those kind of spiritual things happen. And they were afraid, and Jesus came. He spoke to these people. He comforted their hearts. He confirmed their mission of what they were to do. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. Only Jesus can speak words of comfort, of peace, of hope. Can he? Thank God for letting the Lord, our living Lord, do that this morning. If Jesus really did come back from the dead, the Jews had a major problem. Because it means that he was right and they were wrong. It means that their system of worship now needed to change. Their worship was dead. And what Jesus was offering was something that was alive. And it doesn't matter who you are, as far as all religious systems, they have a problem with the empty tomb. Man, you talk about God, you talk about the things of God, man, people are right there with you. Boy, as soon as you bring Jesus into the picture, it's a different story that happens. Why? Because no other leader died on a cross. No other leader gave their blood. No other leader died and came back from the dead like Jesus did. They even try to cover it up at the end of our passage. They were even paid money to say that he was stolen. And the beginning of this begins with a tale of life and ends with the telling of a lie. And friend, in our lives and what we're around every day, we're going to have to make that decision of what we are going to believe. Are we going to believe life that Jesus gives? Or are we going to believe the lie that others tell? Are we going to live in faith, or are we going to live in fear? As I close, let me just remind you that this was the first resurrection day, and it won't be the last. Because he lives, you, if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, you will live too. He promises that. Those in the graves will come forth one day. And those who are alive when he comes will never taste the taste of death. Because when he died, the Bible says in Hebrews that he tasted death for us. And thank God for that day when the death lost the battle with life forever. We can thank God for that day that the battle was forever won for you and for me. And friend, have you trusted him today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were to die today, would you go to meet him and be with him and forever in heaven? And friend, if you haven't, let me encourage you, come to him. Believe on Christ as Savior. And friend, if you're here today and you are saved, are you believing life? Are you walking in faith, trusting Jesus?